The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
A very special guest on God Calling this week. This is Father Robert Spitzer. He is a Jesuit, and of course you've heard him on many, many shows over the years here on EWTN Radio and AM 1260. TV basically shows starting, what, 25 years ago, 1998, and on up to today, when you've got your current show, Father Spitzer's Universe, which airs right here. Father, welcome.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you.
We have a couple of things in common. We were both born in 1952. We both graduated in 1970 from college. Now, this is where we divide off, because you were a member of the National Honor Society.
I do. So,
I was not. So, divergent paths. And yeah. As I look at your bio, they say a Jesuit priest, philosopher, educator, author, speaker, and retired president of Gonzaga University. And me, they go, that retired reporter.
I know. I like the retired reporter. That's challenging indeed.
Well, thank you for all that you do and have done over the years. Father, tell me about growing up. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Honolulu, Hawaii, and I was in Sacred Heart Parish, a Good Mary Knoll Parish, very close to my home. And I went to Punahou High School, which was not a Catholic high school, but it was right across the street from Sacred Heart Church. Of course, my mom, who was a daily communicant, very, very loyal to the church, and there every day she got us into serving Mass. And, of course, I was a member of the Knights of the Altar and was very enthusiastic about it. And when I was younger, I certainly had some very genuine religious experiences at our church, at Sacred Heart Church there, and felt a real desire, a calling to go, you know, into the priesthood. But that kind of deferred in high school. And of course, I started reading because of, you know, an English class, many authors that were not too good for my faith. Elie Wiesel's Night really got me thinking, and then Jean-Paul Sartre's No Exit, and then Nausea even kind of hit me worse, and then finally the several L'Étranger by Camus and a variety of other ones, and I just thought, oh boy, I got to get some answers to questions, and I was looking for scientific answers mostly, or philosophical answers. I didn't really know what philosophy was beyond Sartre and Camus and things, but tried to kind of get out of that. So I sort of had a lapse for a while I went to college, and then I regained my vocation in college.
Something I hear over and over again here on the program and talking to sisters or many people is the example of a mother or a father being a daily communicant. Parents are just, even just by living their lives, not necessarily on purpose to make an impression on you, but they leave a lasting impression on their children.
Yes, absolutely. And that was the case with my mother. Her faith was very evident. And, as I was kind of in my throes in high school trying to get a lot of answers, hey, Mom, is there any evidence for God out there? And she would say, well, you know, I think I've heard of these proofs or something, but I'm not really sure. And why do you need them anyway? You know, all you need to do is kind of hold a baby, and you'll know that that's a miracle and God exists. And, you know, I'm there holding the baby going, Mom, it's not working for me. So, I basically, went off to college and then a variety of different things happened, which opened up. But my mom was still a shining light. I was going to Mass, and I was not going to stop going to Mass because there was something that she kind of infused in us by her example, and also the way how seriously she took religion and our upbringing. So all that being said, you know, I went off to college, and at one point, you know, a professor of mine actually gave me these singularity theorems that I had never even heard of before, one of which actually was written by a guy named Stephen Hawking. And so, you know, I thought, wow, you know, maybe there could be a creation of the universe. Wow, you know, if every, you know, space-time point converged, you know, on a single a line, excuse me, converged on a single point in the overall geodesic, well, maybe, you know, general relativity predicts a beginning, a creation. So I was thinking, gee whiz, you know, that'd be great. You know, I kind of got a spark of hope there and some evidence. And, well, you know, the Holy Spirit, one day I'm walking down a corridor, literally walking down a corridor in one of the classroom buildings there at Gonzaga, and I hear proofs for the existence of God. And I thought, what in the world? So, yeah, I zoomed on in there, you know, and I went to the back of the class, and I'm listening to this guy, and, you know, he's talking logic and metaphysics, and I was, you know, two-thirds of the class was done, and so I was kind of coming in fresh. And finally, the only thing I could think of to say after the class is, you can't prove the existence of God. The guy goes, oh, yes, I can. I said, well, why don't you do it right here, and
wow,
and I'll critique it. And he goes, I know very well you're not in this class. Tell you what. If you come into this class next semester and take the full class, I will prove the existence of God to you. So I did, and he did, and the rest is history. So, you know, I kind of got, wow, maybe there is, you know, some hope for the old rationalist. So, you know, I kind of got a spark there and, you know, continued sparks. I started teaching, you know, a ninth grade CCD class, and that really gave me another start, and then I just got intensely interested in theology. But you know, I didn't do the catechism class intentionally. I was walking down the street, and this girl who I kind of liked was said to me, "Well, you know, we need a ninth grade boys catechism teacher." Said, why are you looking at me? You know, I'm a math guy. You know, I don't know why you're looking at me. And she goes, well, you go to Mass. I said, well, I know, but you know, that doesn't qualify me to teach catechism.
Uh-huh.
Well, she got a hold of me. She said, well, great. Do nothing for anyone for the rest of your life. I said, okay. You know, so I thought I'll teach a class. So I thought, I'm going to get these kids with those singularity equations because, you know, they made such a difference in my life. I just thought, I'll put one on the board, and even though they don't know the math, it'll intrigue them. So, of course, in come these kids, you know, and they're looking at this board, and they keep going, is this the catechism class? I said, yes, it is. Another customer. Have a seat. You know, so you know, these kids would, you know, sit down, and they're thinking, this guy's a weirdo. So finally the class gets started, and I said, I'm going to tell you why this equation means that the universe very probably came into existence at a beginning. These kids are looking at me like, you mean like a creation? I said, that's right. And they go, okay, you know, so I start explaining it, and all of a sudden these tablets start coming out, you know, that I'm sure never got used in any other catechism, ever. Finally, at the end, this kid comes up to me and goes, are you going to be our catechism teacher for the rest of the year? And I had not intended this, but I said, yes. And I don't know why,
yeah,
but I did. You know, that's the Holy Spirit, a little freedom to choose, and I chose it, and then I found out I could really move the hearts of these kids because they were mostly rationalists like me, you know, as it turned out. So it all got started.
Your calls continued, and we're going to talk about that when we come back after these messages right here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Robert Spitzer is joining us, and Father is well known to viewers of EWTN. Father, we talked about you being a math guy and suddenly kind of a conversion, because all your degrees after that, you got a Master of Theology and then a Master of Divinity. That was at Georgetown, and then a PhD in philosophy from Catholic University. Yeah. And I take it, the whole time, your belief in a creation strengthened.
Oh, my, definitely, my faith strengthened. And part of the faith strengthening was a retreat. Another girl I liked talked me into going on a search retreat. That really, really got me. And the end of that search retreat, they had a movie on Mother Teresa, Something Beautiful for God, the Malcolm Muggeridge one. And I'll tell you, that movie really got me. And I just thought, wow, there is a real instance of grace transforming somebody, you know, this little nun from Albania into, look at all the good she's doing. And I, it just really got to me. And so I got thinking about this and that, and then finally, you know, I went on an Ignatian retreat with a guy named Father Steckler, who was, you know, I really admired the guy. He was a very bright guy. So finally, of course, you know, I'm really thinking to myself, well, maybe I should just be a priest. You know, my religion is the most important thing to me. It's totally central. I should just be a priest. And I thought, I can't be a priest. I got to take over my dad's law firm. He's already given money to Harvard, you know, to the law school there, his alma mater. I got to go, you know. I mean, I just, and we got the family businesses, and, you know, I should be involved in these things, and I should be helping out here. And I just, I talked myself completely out of it. But I was ripped apart on the inside because half of me wanted to follow my religion, which was more important to me by this time than, frankly, the family businesses. But, you know, I still wanted to be married and so forth. So, you know, my mom came up with this great idea. She just read this Time magazine. She says, look, she says, you could be a permanent deacon. Says right here, if you get married before you get ordained a deacon, you can stay married, and then you could take over your dad's law firm and businesses, and you could do this and that and the other thing, and you could get married, and you see, look at all this. You could get the best of both worlds. I said, Mom, you're a genius. You know, and I said, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. So I finally thought, good, I can get this off of my, you know, shoulders, because it was really weighing me down. I just was torn apart. And so one day I was going to Daily Mass, you know, and was coming out of Daily Mass and at St. Alice Church. And there's a book rack in the back there. And, you know, it says, Why Be a Priest or something was the name of it. And a guy, you know, holding up a host, a priest holding up a host in the front, you know, page of the book.
Sure.
So I thought, oh, I might take a look at that. And then the other half of me says, don't take a look at that. And so, of course, I was debating, and I'll look at it. So I started looking at this book. And I read the whole thing. And I just thought, what am I thinking? You know, if I really have a call from God, what am I going to do? You know, why am I turning it down? And shortly after that, this other weird thing happened to me during a storm. I was practicing as an accountant downtown, you know, and I was walking from school down an alleyway over to my office, you know, which was downtown in Spokane. And this huge rain squall comes up while I'm in this alley. And so, of course, I got to get under some cover. So I go zooming down there, and there's this big galvanized steel eave that's just sticking out of this kind of shed that's on the alleyway there. So I got underneath it, and I don't know why I said this, but I said, Lord, if this is all about me being a priest, then make the rain stop right now. And it did.
Whoa.
And I thought, you're kidding. I really thought, I you know, this couldn't happen, but I thought, whoa. So I thought, well, okay, you did that. If that was in response to me, I'll go see Father O'Leary.
It wasn't just a God sense of humor, I take it.
It was the real deal. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. It's not a good way of making it a sermon, I found out. But on the other hand, boy, it spoke volumes to me. So, you know, I thought, I'm going to O'Leary. So I did, and, you know, I got in there, and he says, well, how long have you been thinking about this? I said, well, I mean, a short while, you know, comparatively, you know. I said, but I have been really thinking about it implicitly for a long, long time. And I said, I think I'd really like to do this in the Society of Jesus if I follow through on it. He looks at me and he goes, well, how much do you know about the vows? I said, the vows? I said, well, I think there's poverty, chastity, and obedience. He goes, that's right. Well, what do you know about poverty? Well, that's when you're poor for Christ. He goes, anything else? I go, well, not yet. He goes, well, how about chastity? What do you think about that? And I said, that's where you're chaste for Christ.
Did he buy it?
So you get the obedience of the fame. So he says, well, you got to read some books. You don't know too much yet. But he says, and here's this other book, he says, Autobiography of St. Ignatius. And so I thought, okay, you know, I'm going to start with that one. That looks interesting and thin. So, you know, I grabbed it, you know, and I went home, and I read through that autobiography. And the one thing that just occurred to me as I finished that was, I really like this guy. He thinks of something, and he gets a plan, and he gets it done. And I said, I like the way this guy thinks, you know. So mm-hmm. I thought, maybe this is the kind of order I want to join, you know. And, of course, the vows are, you know, some of the books I had were rather esoteric, so I was trying to glean something I could tell Father O'Leary from them, you know, make me look intelligent. But anyway, the long and short of it was that I made it through the interviews, and he said, you know, you're a strange one. He said, you probably do have a vocation.
That's great. Father, stay right where you are. We're going to be back on God Calling after this. Father Robert Spitzer joining us on God Calling. Father, thank you once again for joining us. You entered the Society of Jesus, Jesuits. When you got out, what happened next? When you were ordained, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was ordained, I went to the Gregorian in Rome, and that's where I did my theology. And then I went to the Weston School in Cambridge to do my graduate work in Scripture. And then, you know, I really wanted to do something more along the philosophy of science and metaphysics line, more the philosophy thing. So I went and did a PhD in philosophy of science, philosophy, metaphysics at the Catholic University of America with Paul Weiss, and then who was my dissertation director. And then finally I was teaching at Georgetown University for a good while. And once I did that, you know, I thought, oh, I'll just stay here. You know, this is a great place to teach, but my province wanted me back, the Oregon province, at the time. Now, of course, it's part of the USA West province. So they called me back to teach at Seattle University, and then I was there for about 8 years. And then after being there from 1990 to 1998, I went to Gonzaga University as the president there. And served as president for 11 years until 2009, and then decided to start the Montes Institute, you know, doing faith and science work, and, you know, down here in Southern California, Orange County, California. You know, that's where the Father Spitzer's Universe opportunity at EWTN came around, and, of course, writing a lot of books in this area of the intersection between faith and science, faith and reason, and then, as I say, the rest is history, and I continue to do that to this day.
On the opening of your program, I know they use that, the intersection of faith and reason, and it sounds like your background, the math and the accounting and all that, along with your faith, really provides some great fodder for discussion.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if anybody knows something about the secular viewpoint, it would be me, because, of course, I got infatuated with just about every theory that I ever heard about the beginning of the universe and things of that nature. So I was always querying, you know, oh, you know, how did this work and how did that work? And then, you know, when I was in high school even, it was terrible, because when everybody else is going out for research, you know, some sort of playtime of some sort, you know, and recess time, I mean, that was me reading an encyclopedia on how electrons worked or something to complement what I was studying in my physics classes. Just really always was interested in science, philosophy of nature. Time theory is what really got to me. too, and, you know, looking at the Bergsonian notion of time and thinking to myself, how can anything but a transcendent mind be able to hold together the earlier and later of a non-contemporaneous continuum like time? So I was just, you know, besieged with this question inside my head, and that led to eventually my doctoral dissertation, which I did write on time theory and general theory of relativity. And then finally, of course, you know, I got into teaching at Georgetown, and whenever I taught faith and science, you know, I get 200 kids in the class.
Wow.
I mean, I just couldn't stop. Then I got to Seattle U, and then it was the same thing. I mean, it was the most popular class. When I came as president of Gonzaga, I thought, well, maybe I'll just teach a philosophy of God, you know, the, you know, intersection of faith and science. I had to get three other professors to help me to do the grading because, you know, as president, I couldn't be doing, the teaching work. So, I mean, basically, they, you know, got together and put together this this class and a wonderful group of guys, and I taught all the seminarians, and there was one thing that was very clear. This is the most needed thing in the world, and St. Ignatius had these three questions. You know, I started asking those questions. You know, the number one question is, what is the greatest universal need? What's the need that you perceive as being most important to the kingdom of God? And of course, I thought, faith and science. You know, these kids are rationalists deep down inside. They need evidence. Number two, is anyone else doing it? I thought, well, there's these guys like William Lane Craig in the Protestant church, but our church, nobody's really doing it. You know, so I thought, okay, so that's the answer. And the third question is, well, if no one else is doing it, can you competently do it? I thought, I'm not the best, but I can competently do it. At which point, St. Ignatius says, well, then get going. I mean, that's the magis, right? It means, you know, the even more, get going, do the greatest universal need. If no one else is and you can do it, go. So I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I got out of the presidency business and got into the faith and science institute business.
Yeah. Well, the secular world, some of your writings, you've said that you think we're on a slippery slope, accelerating crazy ideas. And we see more and more of it, and particularly in the last year or two. Goodness.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And so I tried to respond to that, too, in a new book called The Moral Wisdom of the Catholic Church. And my approach has been, you know, not just a response to atheism, but a response to, you know, secular views of moral theology and ethics. And so what I did was I took a whole series of secular studies. And in this particular book, for example, let's take homosexual lifestyle, you know, and I just showed, you know, by secular studies, archives of general psychiatry, you know, studies from various universities, if you pursue this lifestyle for more than 6 months, what can you expect? A 3 times increase in depression, a 3.5 times increase in anxiety, 5 times increase in panic attacks, a five to seven times increase, depending on the study you use, in suicides and suicidal contemplation. And I just kept going, and I kept looking at these things and going, what's good about this life? It's a killer for your emotional health. Yep. It's a killer for your spiritual health. I just took the Pew survey, another secular survey, and just showed you start practicing this lifestyle, your prayer life goes down, church participation goes down, the atheism rate doubles, and so forth and so on. And I just started assembling all of this stuff. Let's suppose you want to get a sexual reassignment surgery, you know, right, to alleviate transgender dysphoria. If you do that, you can expect a 20 times increase in suicides. 20 times, from 1.6% of the general population to 32% of that population is contemplating suicide. Committing suicide.
Oh, dear.
You're right.
Father, we could go on for a good long time, but I'm out of time. I'd love to continue. You're here on EWTN, here on our radio station, 1260 The Rock, at noon on Sundays. We hope people will tune in. And I can't thank you enough for sparing some time to talk to us here on God Calling.
Oh, no, it was just my honor. Thanks so very much for the opportunity.
God bless you, Father. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.